Yeah, and so that's what I want to do today is focus upon events that will affect the human family, which is certainly appropriate, but also events that will transpire in the 1,000 years, the last 1,000 years of this age. And one of those events that probably we haven't thought about all that much is the final disposition of Satan and his demons. Probably most of us here are only concerned about Satan and his demons being put in a place where they can no longer cause trouble, like what Mr. Carlisle was talking about, for the human family or anyone else. Well, that is exactly what is going to happen to these troublemakers. But have you thought about the chain of events that will make it happen? They'll take care of Satan and his demons. The purpose of this message today is to give us a possible scenario of the events for the final disposition of Satan and his demons. Point number one is this: Satan and his demons are going to be cast into everlasting fire. Satan and his demons are to be cast into everlasting fire. Please turn with me to Revelation, the 20th chapter. We're going to start reading in verse 17. And this point, number one, that I'm bringing out here probably is not new to any of us here sitting in this room. As I can look around, I see most of us are mature Christians. We've been around for a long time. We've heard this before, that the casting of Satan and his demons into everlasting fire is not something new. But there are events leading up to that that maybe you haven't considered before. And by the time we have finished this message, though, today, I hope that will have given you a better understanding regarding Satan's fate. And much more importantly, how God will handle the matter in such a way that it highlights God's character of being fair and doing what is best for whatever the situation may be that particular set of circumstances involves. Well, let's start talking about this disposition here of Satan in Revelation, the 20th chapter. Now, verse 7, verse 7 of chapter 20. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. And he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Verse 10, this is the disposition of Satan the devil. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, here we have, in very clear, lucid language, what happens to Satan. But we can't just read over it too quickly. If you read over it too quickly, you don't get all of the details that can be here. One of the first bits of information that we need to think about as we analyze verse 10 is this, that the devil, or Satan the devil, is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And that fire and brimstone right there, that is in reference to a physical phenomenon, not spiritual. This is physical. This will be an actual fire, and brimstone is a mineral, which is a part of what is being described in this lake of fire. And it says that the devil is going to be cast where the beast and the false prophet are. Now, where are the beast and the false prophet? Well, they're in this lake of fire. And let's jump back a little bit and let's just read about where that lake of fire is at. Chapter 19 of Revelation, just back a few verses. Chapter 19, verse 19. I saw the beasts, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now, here we can see when this occurs, this time frame right here, it is just before chapter 20, verse 1, when Satan the devil is cast into the bottomless pit. And remember what Mr. Richardson told us about Satan the devil being cast in there? It's probably going to be Michael, or at least that would be the logical assumption. He's going to throw Satan the devil into the bottomless pit. And this bottomless pit is not something physical, it's something spiritual. And it's not only just Satan the devil. Michael is going to be throwing the rest of the demons in there too. You don't think God is going to allow the rest of the demons to be affecting all human beings and mankind for that 1,000 years of the millennium? No, they're all going to be thrown in there, and I'm going to be proving that to you in just a few moments here. But anyway, the bottom line is this. This is at the start of the millennium. Now, in Revelation 20, verse 10, it says it's after the 1,000 years have expired that Satan is let out of the bottomless pit, along with all of his rest of his cohorts, and they're going to go out and they're going to deceive mankind once again for a very limited amount of time until they're thrown into this here lake of fire. Now, we know then that the fire, which is a physical fire, has been burning for at least 1,000 years up to this stage of time. If you go then down to verse 13, it talks about what we have understood to be the third resurrection. And in verse 15, all those who are brought up in that third resurrection, anyone not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. It's the same lake of fire that the beast and the false prophets were thrown into 1,100 years earlier. It is the same lake of fire that Satan and his demons were cast in after the 1,000 years had transpired. Do we see it? It's that same lake of fire. And if you go back and you read the original Greek and study into it, it's talking about a physical fire, a physical fire. As we think about the beast and the false prophet being thrown in to a lake of fire, what comes to your mind? Are they going to be tormented forever and ever like the devil and his demons, as depicted in chapter 20, verse 10. Please turn with me to Malachi, the fourth chapter. Keep your finger here. Well, I just want to read something to you very quickly because we've been over this before, but it's something that we need to remember because it helps us to understand what the fate is going to be of Satan and his demons. Now, this is talking about human beings. Why am I talking about human beings? Because the beast and the false prophet are human beings, just like all of us in this room. And when you throw them into the lake of fire, this physical lake of fire, what happens to them? We're going to find out right here in Malachi, the fourth chapter, verse 3. This is talking about that time. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, and will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, that's of us sitting here in this room, and all those who will follow God's way of doing things, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like a stall-fed calves. Now, what happens to those who decide not to go along with God's way? They're burned up, right? And it says in verse 3, you shall trample the wicked. Now, the wicked, obviously, is going to be here the physical wicked. You know, human beings have decided not to do things God's way. But it doesn't say only physical. It could be spiritual, too. Do Satan and his demons, are they wicked? Well, I most certainly hope you think they are. And it says, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Now, if we understand that the beast and the false prophet, who are human beings, thrown into the lake of fire, are going to be burned up, that means then that what is going to happen to Satan and his demons. Let's go to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew, the 25th chapter. We'll try to speed this up a little bit here. Matthew, the 25th chapter. And it talks about what is going to happen to Satan and the demons, all his cohorts. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 41. Revelation chapter 20 is speaking about Satan the devil being cast in the lake of fire at the end of the 1,000-year time period. So the reference to the beast and the false prophet being alive at that time, 1,000 years later, is obviously not true. We read about that over in Malachi. When they're thrown in there, they burn up. But what happens to the at this end whenever Satan is thrown into the lake of fire? And in verse 41, it says, "Then he," this is Christ speaking, "will also say to them on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" You see, God is going to take care of all of them. He's not going to just take out Satan the devil. He's going to take care of all of them that are corrupt. How many of those angels there are? I don't know. But God says that the fire is prepared for all of them. Now, we got to do a little bit of logical thinking here for a moment. Most of us have probably seen movies of war situations where they use a weapon called a flamethrower. Now, a flamethrower is where they have a compressed flammable liquid in a canister on their back, and they've got a little gun here, and when they shoot it out, well, the liquid is ignited, and whatever it lands on, let me tell you, it's going to burn it up. It's a very sticky type, like napalm. You know, napalm does that. When it hits, it isn't like gasoline, just blows up real quick. No, this here, when it gets on you, it starts burning up. I tell you what, let's do. Let's put the beast and the false prophet right there, and then let's put Satan and his demons right here. Let's put out our flamethrower, and let's shoot it onto the beast and the false prophet. Let's say they're physically standing there right now. We got them. What happens to the beast and the false prophet? They're human beings, remember. They're going to burn up. They're going to die. And as soon as there's nothing left there to be consumed, they're going to be gone. What are they going to be like? They're going to be like ashes under our feet. Right? Everybody agree with that? Okay, now we got Satan the devil and his demons standing right there. We take our same flamethrower and we shoot at them. Just really get them good. I don't know how many of them there are, but there's a whole bunch of them, but our gun is really good. So we spray them all with that stuff. What happens to Satan and his demons? Nothing. Exactly. Why? Because they're spirit beings. They're immortal. Are they not? We got to think this through. Probably you never even thought about it. The only thing we think about most of the time is, well, they're going to be put out of their misery and they're going to be gone. They're not going to be bothering us anymore. Well, that's true. But what we're doing now is going step by step and trying to figure out how it all works, the events and how they transpire. Well, to understand the true meaning and what God says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, when he says Satan and the demons will be tormented day and night forever and ever, I would like to quote from our booklet entitled, "What Happens After Death?" What happens after death? You can look this up for yourself. Page 41. And I will quote this for you. "Furthermore, it should be pointed out that the Greek phrase translated forever and ever here," that's in Revelation 20:10, "literally means unto the ages of the ages. While this might mean for eternity, it could also mean until the culmination of the ages, which will allow an ending point soon after being cast into the lake of fire." Now, this is from people who know Greek. They understand it. And our booklet is saying that from ages, or from forever to forever, when you look at that in the real Greek, it could mean for eternity, or it could mean something that is going to happen until something transpires immediately. So we have to make a decision. Which way does it go? Is it in reference to all eternity or some event that is going to transpire immediately? The answer is dependent upon the state of existence for Satan and his demons. If he is a spirit being, being thrown into that physical lake of fire is not going to do a thing. Nothing. If he's something else, though, where he might be affected, then that possibility could possibly be there. We know that when the beast and the false prophet are destroyed immediately when cast in the lake of fire, human flesh is mortal and is burned to ashes when it's subjected to fire. We cannot say that about Satan the demons. Why? Because they're spirit. They're immortal. And the lake of fire would not have any effect on them. We know that the lake of fire is the same one that the beast and the false prophet is thrown into. And Satan the devil is going to be thrown in that same fire. So the change is obvious. And it involves the state of immortality. Therefore, we need to have a better understanding about immortality. And that brings us to point number one. Only God is inherently immortal. Now, I've talked about this before. Please turn with me to, Yeah, we'll do this one first. 1 Timothy, the first chapter. 1 Timothy, the first chapter. We're going to read verses 15 and 17. 15 through 17. This is talking about God who has inherently immortality. Verse 15 of 1 Timothy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Now we know that it says here that only God is immortal. He's alone wise. But, you know, God tells us in Proverbs, the second chapter, verse 6, that as all wisdom comes from God, he's willing to share that with other people. And that is exactly what he is going to do with immortality. And I just want to read this one verse. Let's jump over to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter here. And this is talking about God, and I'm not going to read too much of it here. I'll just zero in on verse 16. It says, and this is talking about God, God who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and glory everlasting. Amen. That just tells us once again in these scriptures that God is the one that is immortal. He has inherently immortality. But the thing is, though, he's willing to share that immortality with other people like us. Please turn with me to, yeah, we'll do Luke, the 20th chapter. Luke, the 20th chapter, verse 30, starting in verse 34. Luke, the 20th chapter, and let's start reading in verse 34. Now, here it's talking about the angels, and we know that they are spirit beings. And it also, we can understand, too, that they don't die. Because they have immortality. It's been given to them by God. Verse 34, Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Yes, they cannot die anymore as long as they have immortality. The thing is, and this is where we need to think about something, whenever we think about immortality and us being translated from this mortal being that we are right now into a spirit being in the world tomorrow with immortality, whenever we think about that, we think about it as sort of like a one-way idea. We just go from the mortal to the immortal, and that is it. Well, that is probably the best way to look at it most of the time, because most of the time, that's the way it's going to be. But what we got to understand is that sometimes the reverse can happen. That brings us to our point number three. Point number three is this: mortality and immortality are reversible. Mortality and immortality are reversible. Please turn with me to John, the first chapter. Now, let's everybody be wide awake. The rest of this stuff about immortality, I know you've heard it before, but now I'm going to give you something I want you to think about, and because I think it's applicable to what is going to happen to Satan, the fate of him and his demons whenever they're thrown into the lake of fire. Because probably you never heard of this before, you never really even thought about it, that they're interchangeable. You know, that you can be mortal one time, then you can be immortal, and that maybe you're back to immortal again. You know, this here back and forth, you never, probably never thought about that. But there are examples in the Bible where this has occurred, and maybe you really hadn't thought about it, and let's look at it right now. Here in John, the first chapter, in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Now here, the Word and God, this is the God family, they both had immortality. There was nothing existing as far as the angels and all the other stuff at this point in time, but it says all things that were made by the Word, Jesus Christ. So he made the angels. We know that the angels cannot die. Why? Because they have immortality. Who gave them that immortality? Christ did when he made them. Because immortality is something that is inherent in him, and he can give it to other people. And that's what he did right here. Okay, so we know now here, at this point in time, the Word was immortal. The Word, though, let's drop down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we can see that the Word came to this physical earth. He was here. He became a physical human being. And he was no longer then immortal. He became mortal. Christ gave up his position in the Godhead as an immortal spirit being and became a mortal physical being here on this earth. Please turn with me to Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation, the first chapter, we're going to start reading in verse 5. As you're turning there, I'll quote for you Philippians 2nd chapter, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, remember this is back when it was just God the Father and the Word, and that was him, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he was God too. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, that's exactly what he was. He was God in the flesh, but he was still a man, mortal. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Point of death. If you're immortal, you don't die. Remember, that's what it says about the angels? They don't die because they're immortal. Even to the death of the cross. That's in reference to Jesus Christ when he was a human being. Now let's start reading about why Jesus Christ died on the cross. And we start reading the answer here in Revelation, the first chapter, verse 1. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, yes, he was dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's why he gave up immortality to become a mortal human being, so that his blood can wash us clean, pay the penalty of our sins, so that we can be members of the God family. Is Christ dead now? Let's jump down to verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his hand, right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I live forevermore. Now we can see that Christ was immortal. He then died. But now he's back immortal. So as you can see then, mortality and immortality are reversible. You can change them around a little bit. Now, Christ made also another interesting statement, which I think applies to Satan and the devil. It says, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. That's the end of verse 18. Now, back to the point that I want to make here. And I want to label this right up front. Matter of fact, in my notes, you see that's in the red. I want to make sure that everybody understands what I have to say right now, because you probably haven't heard this before. It's my speculation. I don't know whether it's true or not. It's up to you. You don't have to accept it. This is not United Church of God doctrine, okay? But we're talking about, and I think what Bob was talking about earlier, this all ties together, and I think that in the final analysis, you're going to agree with me that this is the best thing. At this moment, Satan and his demons have immortality. Just like when Christ created them, remember we read about that in John, the first chapter? He gave them immortality. They have immortality right now. They're spirit beings. You can't see them. Shoot the old flamethrower at them. Won't hurt them a bit. Could it be that just as Christ gave them immortality, and remember, mortality and immortality can be exchanged here, that he would also remove immortality and make them mortal human beings? Then, when Satan and his demons are cast into the lake of fire, they would be burned to ashes just like the false prophet and the beast were. That same lake of fire, that physical lake of fire that started at the millennium, that's there at the end of the millennium, that when Satan and the demons are cast into there. Then the scenario would certainly fit the Greek phrase that we read about that our booklet describes regarding Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 10. That what happens is that Satan, the demons, they're physical. They're going to be burned up immediately. There'll be ashes under our feet. And so that forever and forever, I think our booklet has it right, is something that culminates right after being thrown into the lake of fire, the physical lake of fire. Now, like I said, this is all speculation. But I know one thing that is not speculation. God is fair. God has given Satan and the demons multiple opportunities to get their act together and start doing things right. For billions of years, they just haven't done it. That's the way they are. They have made up their mind not to do things God's way, and they're not going to change it. They're corrupt. They're perverted. They got sick minds. I think what is going to happen to Satan the devil and his demons is the same thing that's going to happen to the people in the third resurrection. Remember, the people in the third resurrection are the same way. They don't want to do things God's way anymore. So what does God do? He says, I'm going to do the right thing about them. In the third resurrection, I'm just going to throw you in the lake of fire and burn you up. You'll be ashes under our feet. That is the most best, most humane, if you want to call it humane, way of doing things with people who have that kind of a mind. They're not going to change, the people in the third resurrection. They've made up their mind. Satan and the devil and his demons, they haven't changed their mind. They're not going to change their mind. Did you guys see just recently on TV, some guy, I think it was in New York, he went charging four policemen, had a hatchet in his hand? You got to be screwy to do that. You're going to kill four policemen with a hatchet? They got guns. That's sort of like the moron who brought a knife to a gunfight. Well, that's what this guy did. But well, was it him or his religion or anything else? No, it was Satan the devil. He's the one, just like Bob was saying, he is the one that is corrupting everybody's thinking to make them do these stupid, benign, really sick things. My wife and I have been watching a couple on programs on ID Discovery. That's something, I don't know. Anyway, they have all these here cop programs. And they talk about the things that people do. And it's, what is happening here? Satan is inspiring these people to do these things. That's why we have all these problems and these troubles we have right now. Is God just going to let Satan and his demons then be in torment throughout ever and ever and ever? Is God and the rest of us, are we going to be sitting up on our thrones? Oh, looky there, there's Satan and his demons are down there in the fire, the lake of fire. Oh, look, he just stepped on a hot stone. Woo, 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 boy, that was really good. Oh, no, that's not the way God thinks. God is not sadistic. God's thinking is he does what is best for everybody concerned at the appropriate time. Remember Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good. This is the way God thinks. The best thing to do for Satan and his demons, just like the people in the third resurrection, is put them out of their misery. That's the best way to do it. That's the way God thinks. And that's the way we have to think. We need to keep that in mind. You know, that God is fair. Fred Richardson said that in a message. I still remember it. God is fair. And God always does the right thing at the right time. Well, today, as we sit here in services, we are physical. I mean, some of us maybe are a little bit hungry. Maybe some of us are sleepy and need a nap. I could go for a nap. Maybe some of us are sitting here with pains and our physical bodies and so forth. Well, there's a cure for all these problems. Eliminate the temporary physical and replace it with immortality. That would be a good thing to do. And the solution is not far-fetched for some of us here in this room. We're going to be immortal pretty soon. For others, their immortality may be at a very limited time frame, like with Satan the devil. But anyway, we got to remember this. Only God is inherently immortal. God can give immortality to others, like those of us in this room. But remember also, mortality and immortality can be reversed. That's probably a very rare situation, but it can occur. We have an example. Christ did it. He did it. So as we go throughout this coming week, let's keep in mind that no matter what the temporary physical may bring our way, let's just remember that the future looks bright with immortality.